coal miner, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for sticking with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. I say get in touch with the program. Let us know what you're thinking out there. Let us know. Like, what do we do in the future with the downtown Mobile? You got to have it. You got to have people think it's a safe place to go. Or it's a lot of these big events will really suffer from that. Joining us now, unrelated here, but always very kind to come on. And we got a new year ahead of us, so that means a new year in the Alabama legislature. But State Senator David Sessions on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy New Year, dear. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for coming on. 2022 is behind us. I think a pretty decent election cycle for Alabama, at least. Maybe not what we wanted to see nationally. But you feel pretty good about where things are heading into this year, into this new quadrennium?
Yeah, Jeff. You know, there are opportunities lying ahead of us, always challenges. And, of course, with challenges come opportunities. But, you know, both budgets seem to be sitting in pretty decent shape. You know, we got to continue our conservative mode, though, Jeff, because just because you have that revenue today, you know, you go back to 08, 09, 010, and you remember those days, and, you know, we'd come off a flying high in 6 and 7, and all of a sudden we were in a desperate situation, and been there long enough to remember borrowing all the money from the rainy day fund to fund Medicaid and things like that. So, you know, we don't want to get back to that position.
So I guess we were looking at this. We got the budget surpluses in both the general and in the ETF. And there's been the talk about some kind of tax relief. Is that kind of what you're talking about? What do we need to do there with these funds?
You know, like I said, you know, let's err on the side of caution. I'm a proponent of perhaps some type of rebate if the money is there and available, some type of refund to the people that have actually sent money into the state. You know, there are a lot of people for one reason or other that, you know, they may have several children, they may have more tax credits than they actually owe taxes. So, you know, they may not pay anything in. I like to see the people that are actually paying the dollars and cents into, you know, that be able to get some, whether it's the workers from their money being withheld out of their checks, or if it's businesses that are paying in big chunks of money that have done well. You know, I'd like to see the actual taxpayers get a little bit of money back.
That's an interesting, maybe I'm misinterpreting what you said here, but when, you know, we have our deductions from our paycheck and say you got the surplus, sure, maybe take a little less out of, is there a way to do that? Take less out of the check that comes from the state, that goes to the state directly?
Well, you know, perhaps it's a way to revenue to cut checks back to those people at the end of the day, if the funds are there. And I think there'll be some there. You know, I'm not on the general fund, but I am on the education budget committee, so I know there's a big surplus there. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, that it may be an opportunity to do that. And, you know, like I said, we don't want to get into a bind by rebating or refunding too much money, but we do want to show the taxpayers of this state that we're being frugal and saving money and being conservative. But at the same time, you know, the people that are funding government, you know, the taxpayers, they deserve a break once in a while also. But hey, Jeff, inflation is bad. You know, this may be our only opportunity. Inflation is here. I know my business, you know, we're we're running lean. You know, our expenses are up 25-30%. Some instances we're up 100% on some things. So, you know, and it's no different in your household. You're paying 15-20% more for groceries, and you know, the vehicle expenses, fuel and transportation is taking a bite out of everyone's budget.
That seems to be a consensus from a lot of your colleagues, Senator, that we're heading for some kind of economic downturn, and which casts a lot of doubt where the Alabama economy is going to be. So is that, had there not been such a pessimistic outlook, might we be having a different conversation right now?
I think so. I think if things were still going well and expenses had not went up so bad, inflation hit, interest rates. I mean, hey, a lot of these folks out here on floating interest rates, you know, and there again, anything the government's going to do is going to cost more. If you go to try and bond a big project, you know, that's going to cost the state more. So, like I said, it's kind of a tightrope to walk there, Jeff. And I think we have a good conservative legislature and good budget chairman who you know, not only look out for the state budgets, but they look out for the people of the state of Alabama.
Joined by State Senator David Sessions here on the program. And Senator, something else, I guess I was kind of getting to this with that question earlier, though, but people try to think of ways to use the surplus, perhaps to, we have a real problem. We have a good unemployment rate, but we have a lousy workforce participation rate. So how do you incentivize work more in this state to get more people back in the game? And that's, you hear that discussion a lot.
That's true. You know, we did in the education budget last year, we changed the, you know, the scale on raises for people that had been there longer. And, you know, we were able to retain probably 2,500, I forget what the number was. It was a good many of state employees, state school teachers, basically, that were getting ready to retire, that we really needed to keep them in the classroom. You know, so that, along with changing the retirement a little bit, helped retain a few people. But, you know, the getting people out here that are unemployed, that don't want to go to work, it's difficult, you know. And it's not, I'm not pointing fingers at people that are on assistance. I'm not saying that's it. That's just a lot of, after COVID, a lot of people got used to only one, you know, one parent working out of the household. So, you know, there was a lot come along with COVID that really created kind of a new dynamic. So, you know, it's, like I said, it's hard to get people out here to take a lot of these jobs that are needed. I know in my district, Walmart Distribution Center, and they pay a good wage, and you know, they have good benefits, and they have what I would consider good hours. You know, you can do a 12-hour shift for 36 hours on a weekend and get paid for 40, and you're off, you know, 4 days, and you're working for three. It's not for everyone, but I would think someone that needed a job that's able-bodied would be a great opportunity for a young person down here at this distribution center. And then that gives them plenty of time to do other things. So, you know, there are a lot of jobs available that we need to fill. And, you know, Alabama is very, very business friendly. So we have a lot of business moving here. We have a lot of development going on. So, you know, hopefully we can fill those jobs.
Well, that was kind of your argument about, you know, there's this big push right now for Medicaid expansion. And I think it was you who was on the show, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. You said, look, there's opportunity for you to get health insurance coverage if you really covet it, you really need it, you really want it, you go out and get work, because there's the jobs that are available. They're not, service industry or whatever. They actually offer these benefits. So why would we disincentivize work even more?
That's right. You're exactly right. And like I said, those 500 jobs right there come with benefits, and I'm sure the size of the Walmart family companies, Sam's Club, Walmart, you're looking at, a good insurance plan. And like I said, it would be wonderful if we had that thing totally full and every job filled. And not only that, other companies, always looking for workers that have benefits. Hey, our state employees, we're having difficulty replacing people, teachers. Teachers make a pretty decent salary, but have wonderful benefits.
Well, Senator, whenever you talk about this problem, there's a lot of discussion about it. It gets down to, it's workforce training, which I think the state's made strides in the last 10, 15 years. But the other problem for a lot of they can't pass a drug test. And that seems to be a hurdle for more of society in Alabama than maybe some of us, especially myself, had thought of getting that workforce participation rate a little higher.
Yeah, and that's sad, how do you fix that? It's difficult. You can have all the drug education and everything in the world, and for some reason, and I'm not saying it's a problem with just young people. There's plenty of middle-aged and older people that abuse drugs, whether it's legal drugs or illegal drugs. It's sad, Jeff, that our life expectancy in the United States of America has went down the last few years. And it was going down before the pandemic hit. So we can't blame it all on COVID. If it was just older people dying from COVID or flu or pneumonia, would be one thing, but you have all these young people dying from drug overdoses that are prescription drugs. Oxycontin mixed with Xanax, or they get addicted to it and get off of it, buy a $10 Xanax pill on the street that's actually fentanyl. So, it's very disturbing. It's beyond my comprehension, because I just never have been one to depend on anything, whether alcohol or drugs, for, basically comfort or whatever you want to call it, pain relief, mental relief.
Right.
It's hard for me to. It's hard for me to understand how these people do it, but I know some of it could be chemical imbalances in their bodies that cause them to be dependent. It's a difficult situation.
Senator, wrapping up on this topic, you mentioned being on the ETF, but whenever you talk to the leadership in the House, the governor herself has said it. It's the focus for the legislature in the new year is going to be education like we've never seen before. Do you have any idea what that will entail?
I have not heard really what they're, and I certainly agree that education is certainly a key to bringing our public out of poverty. Decency and respect go a long way with that, too. And I think that starts at home. So, what we're going to be looking at in the education legislative year, I don't know if you'll see perhaps voucher type legislation come back up or not. I feel like in Alabama, we just, my personal goal is to let's keep pushing to fix or try to fix what we have. I believe we need to get back to some discipline. I think that is a huge problem in our public education system. We just have an issue with discipline, and it's hard for children to learn when there's not some structure there and you just let people, you know, do as they please, basically. And that's not good for anyone. And, you know, that to me would be one of the biggest hurdles we need to climb to help education is get some type of discipline back in our public education system. Because basically that's the biggest difference between private and public. You know, the private sector has more rules, more discipline, more, you know, in their classrooms and in their structure.
Senator, I hate to part with good company here, but we got to get to a break here. You've been very good to this program. We always appreciate it, and best of the new year to you.
Thank you, Jeff. Always good to talk to you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. State Senator David Sessions, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing.